This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And we are here with Ted James, the state representative from the great city of Baton Rouge, and much to talk with him about. He is in the race to become the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party, endeavoring to succeed Karen Carter Peterson. But there is a lot of ground to cover. He was last with us on April 16th, so obviously that was a little over 3 months ago. And at that time, he had just gotten out of his hospital bed. He is a survivor of COVID-19, and he is a person who you would not think would be in grave danger because he's in tip-top shape, but he has a pre-existing condition and with asthma, and it almost took him out. But 3 months later, he's hale and hearty. I've seen him. He looks fabulous. But Ted James, you know fully well you had a narrow escape.
Yeah, Jim, it was real close. And, you know, those 5 days in the hospital, probably the scariest thing that I've had to endure in my almost 40 years. And, just thankful that God pulled me out of it, and thankful to many of my good friends like you who sent up prayers and calls and text messages. And, for me, I just hope that folks continue to take COVID serious and recognize that, one of the things that I do know is that there's so much about this virus that's still unknown. I found out yesterday, I forgot the state, but there's a person, older gentleman who has been out of the hospital for 2 or 3 months and gave plasma and then contracted it again. What we were told early on is that you had to be a certain age, and then we were told if you get it once, you can't get it again. And every day we're learning something different. So I would just encourage your listeners to do what they can to protect themselves and their families.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk@talklouisiana.org is our email. And we're going to cover some ground with Ted James, and obviously the COVID world has affected everything and will for some time. Yesterday, a record number of cases reported in Louisiana, so we're on the wrong side of where we should be. Certainly we're not flattening the curve any longer. And Governor Edwards says he's going to stay in phase two. The state will through August 7th, and there's some speculation that this could continue on, and we might even have to go back to phase one. Where do you see it right now, Representative?
And I certainly hope we don't have to go back to phase one. But if we aren't continuing to, limit our interactions with other people, and especially in large gatherings, that may be the next step for us. I'm continuing to get calls from business owners who they were excited about opening up, and then employees get sick, and then you don't know how widespread it has impacted your employees. And then, of course, it impacts your patrons as well. So they open up and have to close. And our hospitals are telling us that, we're not at the point of capacity now, but we could get there very soon. So I think it's no coincidence that the moment we decided to move into phase two, and I know that there are some folks that got extremely relaxed, and the numbers started to spike again. And when you look at per capita, Louisiana is up there in high order, to the point that the White House has labeled us as a hot spot and paid very close attention to what's happening in Louisiana. And I know John Bell well enough to know that he doesn't take comfort in keeping us in phase two and what's happening with bars and restaurants. He doesn't take comfort in making those decisions, but I know based on the guidance, it's the right decision at this time.
We're with Ted James, state representative from Baton Rouge. And as mentioned, we're going to talk with him about a few different matters, but right now we're starting with COVID-19, and he was on this show, very moving discussion on April 16th, talking about his near-death experience, and that's not an exaggeration. He was close to the edge with this stuff, and he's a young man. He's not even 40 years old. He's probably one of the two or three most physically fit lawmakers, and it almost took him out, which gives us all pause. But here the governor, with this latest spike, and it is a huge surge of cases, I think is doing his best to weigh the information, and of course, knowing the full impact this has on the economy. It's drawing fire, his decision to stay in phase two from Stephen Wagaspak, head of LABI. He sent a message saying, we're disappointed to remain in phase two. We're just as concerned with the lack of a clearly articulated and creative pathway to a safe, reopened society, school system, and economy. Right now, businesses and families all across the state are suffering from the economic impact of this pandemic. And every day we don't reopen, more and more of those people and companies inch closer to insolvency. Your thoughts about Stephen Wagaspak saying we should open it up, go to phase three. What do you think?
You know, I don't agree with much what Stephen Wagaspak says on policy. And what's unfortunate is that the business community, the far right, they continue to make this a political thing. You know, as the governor that has to put forth a budget, the governor doesn't take comfort in pausing the reopening. But the governor, obviously, Stephen doesn't have the compassion for me and Tony Bagalai, who died, and others. Businesses can't open if their employees are continuing to get sick and people are dying. You know, Stephen should be cheering about the fact that he was able to hijack this pandemic and got billions of dollars of tax relief to big business. Those big businesses, that those dollars are not trickling down to the people of Louisiana, and he's hijacked this entire pandemic to pass bad tax policy. So I would hope that he would just be sitting in his office sharing about that fact and not continuing to make this a political issue. All of us would like to see the economy open back up. You know, I would too, but I'm not going to do that or not going to encourage the governor to do it at the risk of hundreds of thousands of people losing their lives and people continuing to get sick in our hospitals, you know, continuing to lose resources. You know, we also have other business owners that support the governor. While this is, you know, tough economic times for business owners, you know, I represent people that they've had, COVID didn't put them in a bad financial situation. They've already been in a bad financial situation. And I would like the business community to step up. And when we look at the unemployment benefit, in Louisiana, we have the third lowest in the country, right? You know, businesses that you guys are benefiting multi-million-dollar tax breaks. Why don't you, you know, pony up and invest more into unemployment so that we aren't giving people just $240 a week? You know, Stephen couldn't live on $240 a week. I couldn't. So the business community, while they've hijacked this pandemic, should be doing more to help workers. And I criticize the governor for saving lives.
We're hearing the voice of Edward Clark James II, better known as Ted James, born in June of 1981. So he just turned 39 years old, and we're going to get his take on why he wishes to become head of the state's largest political party. But here's an email from Hal in Monroe saying that it is curious how people like Stephen Wagaspak, and by the way, Stephen's a nice man, and we'd love to have him on the show, so there's an open invitation to him if he wants to come on and talk about his dispute with the governor on phase two. But how Stephen and some of the ranking Republicans will criticize our governor for his handling of the pandemic, but yet have not said a harsh word at all about the president. What do you make of this?
Well, I'll tell you, the hypocrisy is something that, you know, is not new to my friends on the far right. And the ironic thing is every decision the governor has made has come from direction from the White House. I mean, that's the same thing that we talked about during the session. You know, you can't criticize the governor without criticizing the president because, you know, the governor has taken his lead. And everyone knows, you know, sometimes I get frustrated with John Bell because we're leaning so much on the guidance from the president, not on this issue, but other issues, because he's, you know, he's so friendly to the guy. But John Bell is level-headed and he's following the guidance from the White House. And I wish that my Republican colleagues would do the same.
It's apparent that President Trump likes John Bel Edwards a lot more than ranking Republicans in Louisiana. Those who were present January 13th at the Louisiana Superdome for the championship game, LSU defeating Clemson, as we know, for the national title, said that the president ran up to John Bel Edwards and said, "You're the best governor in America, the best darn governor in this country." And this was just a few weeks removed from him saying that he was in favor of third trimester abortions. So Donald Trump appears to be flexible sometimes.
Yeah, and that was, you know, maybe 2 months after he was running commercials here saying, get John Bel Edwards out. So it just further proves that, you know, our president will say whatever he needs to say at the moment. And, you know, but, you know, John Bel has been able to maintain a good working relationship with the White House. And, you know, especially on this issue, I know that, you know, John Bel and Mayor Bloom are always on calls with the White House task force and taking direction from the administration.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we're going to continue our discussion with Ted James, state lawmaker from Baton Rouge, hoping to become the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. It's not unprecedented to be in the legislature. The last several years, Karen Carter Peterson has been the chair, and Ted James wants to succeed her. And the Democrats remain the largest party in Louisiana. We'll talk more with Ted James after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. State Representative Ted James is with us. As I mentioned, your number is 877-217-5757. You can email us talk@talklouisiana.org. And a few online missives from listeners wanting to impart wisdom and get insights from Ted James. And here's one mentioning your association with John Lewis, the fabled and legendary congressman from the great city of Atlanta who died Friday at the age of 80, a civil rights pioneer and warrior who was active in American life and for justice from his teens until his 80s. Ted James, you knew this man.
Yeah, you know, you can't be, you know, young African-American in politics and not, you know, have John Lewis as an icon and somebody that you always looked up to. And I was blessed to have met him several times. And the last time I spent the most time with him was in 2014 when he was here. And I actually had the opportunity to ride the bus with a group of Southern students to early vote with him. And, you know, for someone who nearly lost his life in the pursuit of voting rights and civil rights, and someone who fought really hard, you know, for me to be able to sit in the state capitol, to be able to just hear his story about the first time he voted. And for those first time voters, I was more so happy for those guys, you know, those Southern students that had that blessed with the opportunity to go to vote for the first time with an icon like John Lewis. And he's, you know, an extremely powerful soul and one that they called the conscience of the Congress. And people, when he talked, people listened, and he will sorely be missed. And, you know, I'm excited that, you know, another good friend of mine, Senator Nakima Williams out in Georgia, who's also a COVID survivor, she has been selected to replace him on the ballot. So I think that, you know, John Lewis will be smiling down knowing that a leader like Nakima is going to be, you know, following in his footsteps in the Congress.
877-217-5757 is your number. Later in the hour, we will hear from Pearson Cross, the longtime political scientist and qualifying for statewide office has begun today and runs through Friday. And the word is that Adrian Perkins, the mayor of Shreveport, is going to run against Bill Cassidy. And for Democrats wanting to win a statewide office, and there is only one Democrat in office now currently statewide, he did so by starting at West Point. And Adrian Perkins, I think, also is a West Point graduate. Ted James, this guy, he would be a formidable candidate if he goes through with what is speculated to be a candidacy against William Morgan Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, he's most definitely running. I've talked to the mayor several times. You know, I would love to stand there with him when he qualifies in normal times. But with COVID, I won't go and stand with him. But just like John Bel, he's at West Point. He was class president there, went to Harvard Law School and turned down a lot of big money job offers to come back and, you know, return to Shreveport. And he ran and, you know, took out an incumbent in Shreveport and has been doing a phenomenal job. And I think that he is going to be not only a formidable candidate, but a much better United States Senator for Louisiana.
Well, this guy, Adrian Perkins, who, you know, in this part of the state, we don't know a lot about him. But as far as his resume, my goodness, he went to the U.S. Military Academy, where he was the first African-American cadet elected class president in West Point's history. Upon graduation, Mayor Perkins was deployed both to Iraq and Afghanistan, achieving the rank of captain and company commander in the U.S. Army, and was awarded the Bronze Star. After three tours of duty, Perkins enrolled in Harvard Law School, again elected student body president. So this young man is the real deal. It's just curious that he has waited until now to get in the race, and we're 104 days away. But this is a game changer, and I've mentioned there are other candidates, and now there are more than a few who are running in addition to Antoine Pierce. Some of these people are very good people, but this guy, Adrian Perkins, has an office, and he has the pedigree that would make political consultants around the country salivate. 877-217-5757, Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Ted James.
Yeah, Mr. James, are you saying that LaBe and the rest of corporate Louisiana will cut slack for the very stable genius with bone chips, but not do so for the West Point grad who was willing to fight for his country?
Bone spurs, by the way, but not bone chips. But a leading question from Dan Sherman, attorney at law.
Yeah, you know, I would bet my legislative per diem that LaBe won't support Mayor Perkins. You know, and I think that, you know, Mayor Perkins has, I followed him in Shreveport. He has been very, you know, a pro-business mayor, and they've had some huge investments there. But I know those folks won't be supporting the good brother from Shreveport in his race for the United States Senate, which is unfortunate.
877-217-5757 is your number. And another West Point lad is in the race. And John Bell Edwards has noted that he didn't face combat when it was in the Army for 8 years. He was stationed mostly in Hawaii, and that was a break that he fully accepted and welcomed. But no offense, he served his country in a different way. But this guy, Adrian Perkins, three tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan and student body president at West Point and Harvard. 877-217-5757. Ben Bailey and Baker. Ben Bailey, you were on Talk Louisiana with Ted James.
Yes, good morning to you both. I had two questions. You were discussing about the legacy of John Lewis, and I wanted Representative James to comment on the hypocrisy of right-wing Republicans saying he's the conscience of the Congress and then doing everything in their power to disenfranchise African-Americans and other people of color.
What about these people on the other side of the fence who are praising John Lewis but never did anything to support what he believed was right for our country?
Yeah. You know, even to that point, Marco Rubio tweeted a picture of Elijah Cummings, and he didn't even know the difference between Elijah Cummings and John Lewis. He posted a picture of him standing along with Elijah Cummings talking about how much he enjoyed working with John Lewis and how he was praying for his family, but didn't even know the difference between Elijah Cummings and John Lewis. And I'll tell you, you can't praise him if you stood in direct opposition to all of the work that he tried to do in the United States Congress. You know, one of the most unfortunate things, it took him, you know, almost 10 years to get the Congress to agree on the African American History Museum, the Smithsonian Museum up in D.C. You know, and that's just to do a museum. That's not even to advance policy. And I know that, you know, his work continued on the Voting Rights Act, which we had a huge blow to the Voting Rights Act with Section 4 being struck down several years ago. And John Lewis, you know, fought on that until, you know, he took his last breath.
Well, a listener notes that there were more than a few Republicans who did exactly what Marco Rubio did, posting photos of themselves with Elijah Cummings and saying it was John Lewis. And you talk about stereotypical. I mean, that's pitiful. Listener, I'm looking for the name, but I don't have a name, just saying, oh, Jason in Jones Creek saying, wanted to thank Ted for helping to keep our polling locations open for the full amount of hours they need to be. That was something that you fought for, and what do you make of the fact that voting is precious, and in some cases, people are discouraged from voting? I wonder why, Ted James.
You know, that's the hardest conversation that I've had as an elected official with, you know, with a voter who feels like we don't respond to their needs. You know, all they see is us, you know, fighting. They see us, you know, ignoring large constituencies. But I'll tell you, it's the most important thing that you can do as a taxpayer. It's a return on your investment that you make to your community. I wish that we could have done more with vote by mail. We've seen so many issues with vote by mail. We saw over 300,000 that didn't receive an invitation till very late. Some folks didn't receive their ballot until 2 days before the election day and couldn't get it back in.
We're going to talk to Ted James some more and get his review on why he wishes to be the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. Back after this pause for the news on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Another segment with Ted James, state representative from Baton Rouge. And we're talking about politics. And Ted is endeavoring to be the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. If you'd like to talk with him, 877-217-5757. And the story of the day is that Adrian Perkins, the mayor of Shreveport, is challenging William Morgan Cassidy for the U.S. Senate seat that Cassidy won in 2014, getting 56% of the votes against Mary Loretta Landrieu. That was not a presidential election year, so you would figure that the Democrat, and in this case a formidable Democrat, if it goes to a runoff or if it's in the primary, would start with about 44% of the votes. Now, getting from 44 to 50 is the difficulty. 877-217-5757. Ken in White Oak. Ken, good morning. You're on with Ted James.
Yes, Mr. James, I would appreciate your observations concerning the event which probably precipitated your now being in a position to run for head of the Democratic Party. When your predecessor sandbagged the governor by blackballing two of his nominees without having the courtesy of telling him that she was going to do that in advance.
All right. What happened to you're going to have to bring up Ted here, Matt, to Walt Leger and Ronnie Jones. Yeah. What Karen Carter Peterson? That was considered to be a bit of a stunner. What do you make of it?
You know, most definitely, it's unfortunate that they didn't have the conversation. You know, Karen operated within the rules of the Senate. Many people, you can disagree with the Senate having that authority. But, you know, as the chair of the party, of course, a conversation with the governor should have happened. And, you know, just moving forward, you know, when I'm the chair of the party, John Bell and I are going to have very open and honest conversations. We're going to work in lockstep to, you know, not just on legislative matters, but recruiting candidates up and down the ballot. We're doing good now just in this shortened season. I know Adrian was preparing for this earlier this year, and then COVID happened. We also have Martin LaMelle running in the 5th Congressional District against Ralph Abraham. And Martin has been, you know, he works at Grambling State University. He's from the area, and he is going to be, you know, very formidable. And we're going to run a tight race up there as well. So, you know, my position is, you know, Karen is no longer running. You know, I'm not Karen's handpicked successor. I love Karen to death. You know, we can't talk about this last issue with John Bell without talking about the fact that under Karen's leadership, John Bell was elected twice. And it shows that the majority of people in Louisiana will support a Democrat. We just have to make sure that we are just as organized that we were behind John Bell for other statewide offices and pick up some more legislative races. I already have a target list of seats that we did hold and we no longer hold, and we're going to go after those. But the most important thing facing Democrats is not, you know, while these elections are very important this year, the most important thing facing Democrats is redistricting next year. And I'll tell you, we're not going to sit back and play defense. We're going to, you know, have our own maps. We're going to go after seats in the legislature, both the House and Senate. We're going to, you know, draw better maps for Bessie, the Supreme Court. And the Democrats, we are going to fight like hell to make sure that this state has legislative districts that are competitive and not overwhelmingly black, not overwhelmingly white, but look like the diversity that we brag about in Louisiana. We're going to make sure that our districts mirror that diversity.
877-217-5757 for Ted James. Henry at the Country Club. Good morning, Henry.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Ted. I had a question here. I was wondering, what has Bill Cassidy done for Louisiana? He's nothing but a Trump enabler. I certainly look forward to voting for Adrian Perkins because he's done more for our nation than Bill Cassidy has. And Mr. Jim...
All right. What? Hold on, Henry. I think you got something else to say. But let's get Ted James to respond about Adrian Perkins. It's not only Bill Cassidy. Now, Bill Cassidy is a little too young to have evaded service in Vietnam. He did not do that, and he served the people of Louisiana with distinction as a state worker, by the way, throughout his career, working at Earl K. Long, and now he's a U.S. senator, previously a congressman, previously a state senator. He's lived on the public dime for a long time, and Ted James. And as we know, he's using campaign funds to get massages at the Penn Club in in New York City.
That's right.
But but that aside, he's a formidable candidate. He has to be the favorite in this race.
Most definitely. You know, Jim, you mentioned it. He made his career working in at Earl K. Long, and then he ran a campaign that would have gone against all of those people that he serviced over those many years at Earl K. Long. You know, he ran on repeal and replace Obamacare. He did absolutely nothing to do that. And it was so unfortunate. Of course, I supported Mary Landrieu, but, you know, I would have thought that someone with his background and working in a charity hospital system, he could have been a Republican that would have gone up there and spoke some common sense to people, but he was just a puppet for the party.
All right, and he was, of course, a Democrat for most of his life. Cassidy is about to be 63 years old in a few days, and for 50 of those years, he was a Democrat. Henry, I think you had something else. What else cut you off? I'm sorry. What did you have on your mind?
Yes, Mr. Jim, we have something. Now, you and I won't get to vote on it, but we have an opportunity in Louisiana to see our friend, the great Tony Clayton, as district attorney of the 18th Judicial
All
District.
Right, well.
He's already qualified this morning, and we're ready for Mr. Tony.
Well, Tony is a guy who's been a player behind the scenes and one of the best lawyers in Louisiana, and now he wants to be the DA across the river. B and Baker. B, good morning. B, you're on the air with Ted James.
Good morning. Nursing home lobbyists have a lot of money set aside for medical tied up, so it's tied up in the nursing home, so that if you want to keep your parents at home, you can't do it because all the money's going to nursing homes, which would be better if you could keep them at home because of COVID. We see what's happening in nursing homes.
All right.
Could you address that, please?
Yes. Ted James, what about nursing homes, which, of course, are doing their best? This is an all-over-the-country phenomenon, by the way, not just Louisiana, but when you have people of an advanced age who are exposed to COVID, obviously when they're in close contact, they're going to get this, and in some cases, most have recovered, and it's not something that is as bad as you might think, but nonetheless, there are those like B and Baker who say, you know, we should do more for people who want to be cared for at home rather than placed in a nursing home. What's your sentiment regarding this, Ted James?
You know, I agree. I think that parents, you know, caregivers should have a choice. You know, the Nursing Home Association, they do have a very strong lobby, and I supported efforts by the AARP and others to make sure that those dollars can be used for families to make a decision. I mean, it was an easy decision when we said that parents should control the dollars and send their kids to whatever school they wanted to send them to. But the same folks that said that don't believe that, you know, the seniors should be able to have the same right to use their dollars, Medicaid dollars, or, you know, whatever pools of money to make sure that they can, you know, find comfort at home and not have to go in the nursing home. And I'll tell you, that goes back to, you know, my statement about drawing maps and getting folks that are not going to just be beholden to certain constituency groups and are more representative of the people. And that's something that I think that, you know, we should all work on. And the first thing that we have to do is complete our census forms. If we haven't done that, it's not going to help us draw maps that are more representative of our great state. So if you hadn't completed your census, do that, and then we'll be able to not only pull down more federal dollars, but also be able to draw more competitive maps.
You're a practicing lawyer. You're a state representative, and I don't suspect you're intending to give up those jobs, and you also wish to be the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. How are you going to pull all this off?
You know, I'm going to have a very strong executive director at the party. We're going to have a very strong communications team, and I'm going to prioritize just like I always have done. You know, I work out. I work really late. I work on weekends. But the biggest thing that and the best thing about what we're going to do with the party is we're going to have, you know, a dynamic staff there that I'm not going to have to micromanage. We're going to give more power to our DSCC members across the state. We're going to listen to them. You know, we're going to build up our DPECs in every, you know, all 64 parishes. And for me, I'm just going to be the leader of a dynamic party that's working, you know, really hard from bottom to top. And we're going to recruit candidates. We're going to raise money, and we're going to win races.
Do you sense that you will have the full support of the governor?
I better. You know, I think that, you know, John Bell is doing what he should as the governor and listening to all of the candidates. You know, it's no secret to nobody in this state about my relationship with him. And I was one of the first to support him, you know, before other folks jumped on board. You know, I've been a very strong ally to him. But, you know, I understand that he needs to interview, you know, all of the candidates. I don't need to sell him on my record because he's watching me. I serve directly under him as vice chair of the House Democratic Caucus. And once he's ready to make a decision, I'm confident that he'll decide to endorse me for the position.
All right. We only have about a minute to go with Ted, but Phil, oops, I think we lost Phil. I apologize. Phil, can you pull Ted up and we'll just let Ted finish it out, qualifying through Friday for the election on November 3rd. Do you sense any other bombshells other than the announcement today that Adrian Perkins, mayor of Shreveport, is running against Bill Cassidy?
Just locally, the Supreme Court ruled against Judge Clark. So I know that we're going to have, you know, another open seat with an incumbent, with Judge Clark not being able to run, who is, you know, responsible for all of the black judgeships we have in this state when she sued many, many years ago. So I know that Baton Rouge lawyers are looking, and there will be some folks, some movement to see who's going to replace Judge Clark.
Ted James, thank you. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Glad you're hale and hearty, a state worker who can bench press his weight. And there are many, well, there aren't many. There are few in public life who can do that. But Ted can, and we're glad he's in the game. We'll be back after this timeout with Pearson Cross.